Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All we can be sure of is this.
Zach Berry and Grayson Weir are hashtag not committed.
I love a good train wreck.
Hey, what up? This is Not Committed. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me, as always, Grayson Weir. Have to do the names off the top, Grayson, because people may not remember us, recognize us, know the names. It's been a minute since we have recorded. That is mostly my fault, as I was on vacation, and we took a little bit of a break there. And it was honestly pat ourselves on the back, just impeccable timing to take a break and just, you know, clear the runway, literally and figuratively, for the Ole Miss Rebels baseball team, because wow, could not have been more wrong about this team. 10-1 in the postseason, something crazy, outscoring opponents. I believe it was 81-25. Just an absolute clinic on proving the haters and the doubters wrong.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, good to be back. Thank you all for indulging us as we took our break there, but I know all the priorities were elsewhere. You know, no need to talk football recruiting when the Rebs are hot. So welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you here. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe, all that good stuff. How about them Rebels? I mean, you and I both. I'm going to sit here. I had someone over the weekend, actually, asked me this exact question. They said, when are you going to issue basically a public apology, for lack of a better word, for all of the ridiculous, you know, I don't know, anger-filled takes about Mike Bianco and the Ole Miss baseball team this year? And I came out and said, you know, I have been nothing but honest this entire postseason. Like, Credit to Mike Bianco. And that person told me that wasn't enough. So here I am. This is me putting my hand up and eating my words and apologizing, I guess. I don't know what the word would be here, but eating my words. Mike Bianco will be in Oxford for as long as he wants. Keith Carter came out and said so. And rightfully so. Just when you counted him out back in April, if you had told me that this team would have won the College World Series, I probably would have slapped you in the face. I probably would have laughed. Even when they got into the tournament, I came out and said, you know, I don't expect Mike Bianco to have his job this year unless he makes Omaha. He made Omaha. Big middle finger right in the faces of me, right in the face of you, right in the face of pretty much anyone and everyone that has commented about Ole Miss baseball in the last couple of years. He just threw that middle finger up and said, hold my beer, watch this. I'm going to not only make Omaha, but I'm going to win the whole thing. So this is my, hey, Mike, if somehow you listen to this podcast, I apologize for anything I've ever said negatively, although you're bullpen and pitching decisions drive me nuts. Most of the time, your bullpen and pitching decisions, outside of maybe going to Nichols on Sunday, outside of that, your postseason was incredible. Shout out to Mike Bianco. I mean, unbelievable job from a guy who, as far as, you know, I understood it, his job would not have been there if Ole Miss had not been in the tournament. Obviously, they were the last team in, last team out. That's been the big saying. A really unbelievable run. Credit to Mike Bianco. He deserves all of the credit in the world. And before I hand the mic back over to you after my long-winded diatribe here. I would like to give Jack Doherty the credit he deserves. He's going to get lost in the shuffle a little bit because of the DeLucia performance, the complete game shutout. Obviously, Sunday, Doherty wasn't on the mound. Hunter Elliott pitched really well. The bullpen came in and got the job done. Gattis really closed the door there in the end, but Ole Miss would not have been in the position that they were in on Sunday. Ole Miss may not have had the chance to, you know, win the entire national championship on Sunday if it wasn't for Jack Doherty. That man went out and, you know, just put it all on the line and pitched his butt off. So he deserves the utmost credit here. The same way that Dylan DeLucia will forever be a legend in Oxford for his complete game shutout against Arkansas on Thursday, Jack Doherty deserves that same, you know, crown and recognition for an all-time legendary performance that should not ever be forgotten. I mean, truly incredible stuff from Doherty and truly incredible stuff from Mike Bianco.
Yeah, I there's really nothing much else to say. I don't know if I ever publicly doubted them or said they wouldn't make it. I think for good reason. Back then, we just never really talked about them because they were struggling. They really showed no signs of being a national championship contender. And then, man, once they got into the field and the calendar turned to June, I mean, just completely flipped. Ran through the regional and the super regional, defeating a national seed on the road, which Mike Bianco has never done. Then went on the road for a super regional, beat a really good Southern Miss team that had two of the better arms that Ole Miss faced all year long. I know there were some folks that said that Southern Miss's top two guys were better than some of the dudes that they faced in Omaha. So you go on the road, hostile environment, handle your business in two, get to Omaha, and then run through it, lose one to Arkansas, but then come back and answer and oust the Razorbacks, who, by the way, man, that's a fan base that's starting to grovel a little bit. I'm not saying by any means that Dave Van Horn is on the hot seat, but I think there's some uneasiness there. They've knocked on the door a couple times now. Obviously, they were really banging on the door, ringing the doorbell, shouting into the ring camera against Oregon State, and then dropped that pop-up and then ended up losing. But yeah, I mean, an Oklahoma team that was not identical to the Ole Miss team, but they were hot just like Ole Miss, caught fire in the postseason, won the Big 12 tournament, ran through their regional down in Gainesville, and then defeated a really talented, really good Virginia Tech team on the road. So yeah, I mean, it was just an absolute clinic. They didn't have the undefeated postseason run. I think the last team to do that was 2011 when South Carolina did it, when they won their the second leg of their back-to-back championships. They went through the postseason undefeated that year. But it was just, I mean, completely dominated Arkansas in that first, the second game in Omaha to get to the winner's bracket, to get the day off, to, you know, catch your breath a little bit, just a complete dominant effort there. And then just to answer the bell every single time that there was any kind of adversity or a counterpunch thrown by Arkansas, thrown by Oklahoma, they just answered it. And, it was just a fun team, an impressive display of, you can call it cliche or whatever, but just senior leadership, older guys taking charge, stepping up. And then, you know, it wasn't a really top heavy, you know, roster that did it all. You know, you had your incredible performances by Dylan DeLucia and Hunter Elliott. They were the mainstays at the top of the rotation, obviously, but I mean, you probably the two biggest at bats of the season in Omaha were two guys that were struggling mightily. Game one of the finals, TJ McCants hits a two-run homer. the guy was hitting like under 200 against left-handers, and he hit a two-run bomb off a left-hander, a really good left-hander.
And then you have Jacob
Gonzalez that, you know, I was joking with people that he looked like he was playing men's softball up there with how he was swinging, almost like a, you know, a Dollar General version of an Ichiro approach, just, you know, did not look comfortable, did not look confident. And then in game two of the finals, just seemed to look like a different guy at the plate. Hits an absolute tank. Everybody goes nuts. Oklahoma counterpunches, comes back, takes the lead. And then Jacob Gonzalez comes up again with a big RBI late in that game. So, but it was just like that the whole year. You had Kemp Alderman that's hitting balls 113 miles per hour off, you know, off the bat. I mean, just putting dents in the outfield wall. Justin Bench time and time again. Tim Elko, obviously. Kevin Graham. You know, a guy that I think is going to be, you know, he already is because of the run that the Rebels had in the postseason, but Calvin Harris is going to be a household name next season. I think he's going to take over behind the dish for Hayden Dunhurst. I mean, he was a guy that was as hot as anybody in the postseason, but looking at some of these numbers here, Nick Suss on Twitter tweeted out a couple of statistics. He's a beat writer for the Clarion Ledger. Some of these are crazy. So Tim Elko, obviously the backbone of this team. When Ole Miss was 7-11 in April, he hit .380 with 7 homers and 19 RBIs. When they had their run, 10 out of 11 in the NCAA tournament, he was .378 with 5 homers and 14 RBIs. So just steady Eddie there, good or bad, was constant. I mentioned DeLucia and Elliott and how good they were. They combined to start 23 games for Ole Miss against SEC or NCAA tournament teams. They had a combined ERA of 2.53. I mean, just stupid. In the NCAA tournament, 1.51. Look, the ball, I don't care what anybody says, the ball was juiced this year. There were much more home runs, more offensive game, and these guys were sporting a sub-2 ERA when it mattered most. I mentioned Kevin Graham. You know, he was one of the, you know, it's basically, you know, the everyday lineup. I'd say it was Justin Bench, Kevin Graham, and Tim Elko were the guys that all came back, all said they were going to win a national championship. It came true. He was injured on April 8th when he came back. 37 games post-injury, he hit .342 with 34 RBIs and scored 23 runs. He finished the year hitting .451 with runners in scoring position, .407 with runners on base, and .458 with runners in scoring position and two outs.
That's bananas.
Just nails. I mean, just consistency. That I think that's kind of the word for this team. They were just, even when they were bad, they still stayed consistent and basically stuck to the system. I know Ben Garrett used that word a lot on his podcast. He did a crossover with Chase Parham of Rebel Grove and Rivals.com. And he said, you know, the system, the Mike Bianco system, they stayed to it and they trusted it. Another good one here from Nick Suss, Peyton Chatagnier didn't make a fielding error in the last 56 games of the season. So he had 85 putouts and 98 assists since he made his
ridiculous play on, was that Sunday when he was falling?
I was
going
to say, which one? He had so many. You know,
yeah, it's just a good point.
The one that was deep in the four hole, fielded it and just let his momentum spin him through it. Crazy. The glove flip to Jacob Gonzalez for the double play. So yeah, he made an error against VCU on February 27th. After that, nothing.
That's just crazy.
I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I mean, as offensive as it was this season across college baseball, you cannot win a national championship. You cannot advance in Omaha if you do not play good defense. There are so many teams that are incredibly talented, and if they get to Omaha and they start kicking the ball around and start booting easy ground balls and giving away outs, that's when you get into trouble. Peyton Chatagnier was a guy that did not do that all, you know, since February 27th. That's just insane. My last one here, Mike Bianco, it took him 1,517 games before winning his first national title. He's third in SEC history with 800 plus SEC wins and a national title. That's the third coach now. He joins Vanderbilt's Tim Corbin, who's still over there on West End coaching, and the legend and his mentor, Skip Bertman, who was at LSU. So, look, rarefied air now. I mean, it's crazy to go from – I mean, literally a month ago, everybody was saying that he was going to be fired. I mean, it was – if you do not get into the postseason, you're fired. Okay, you're in. If you do not get to Omaha, you're fired. I mean, that's basically what it was. And
he really did that.
Yeah. What are the
he really did.
What do the kids say? He is him.
Yeah, he is him.
He is him.
Him Elko.
Yeah, him Elko. Look, I saw our buddies over at Red Cup Rebellion tweeted out Mike Bianco Stadium at Swayze Field. I don't hate it. I think that's perfect.
Makes perfect sense to me. And that's hilarious because if you had said that to us a month ago, we would have laughed in your face.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Hats off to him. Just an incredible run. I joke with some people when I was in Omaha, went for Father's Day with my dad. That was incredible. I highly recommend anybody, whether you're an Ole Miss fan, college baseball fan, whatever, just go. It's tons of fun. But I was talking to people there and I was like, man, they just need to just tell Mike Bianco that his job's on the line every year, because it seems whenever that happens, he really turns it up a notch. You know, 2014, it wasn't as bad as this year, but there was some groveling. Some people were grumbling about how they weren't getting to Omaha. They weren't getting over the hump, got there, finished third that season. So look, I will admit at 12:40 local time, June 28th, Tuesday, that I was wrong about this baseball team.
I'd like to be on that with you because I was also extremely wrong.
Yeah. Just a crazy ride. I mean, just an incredible run and, all jokes aside, couldn't happen to a better guy. I think you saw it on Twitter after they won. Several coaches were dapping him up via Twitter. I know I saw Jim Schlossnagel tweeted out, you know, congrats to my buddy Mike Bianco. Former players. I know Thomas Diller was in town when the team got back. I saw like Stephen Head. Lots of former players were tweeting during the Omaha run. Just a cool thing for Mike Bianco, a guy that's been through a lot, and he can breathe a sigh of relief. And hey, look, now there's no more pressure. You got you a title. Now go get you another one.
Absolutely, two rings, and you're. I mean, he is who he is. You know, Mike Bianco's name will forever live in Oxford. But if you go get another one. Shoot, I mean, build the statue right next to Tim Elko's. I mean, and before we move on here, and we will get into some recruiting on the back half here, but obviously the big storyline is we are the freaking national champions. I'd like to give a shout out to Garrett Wood. I mean, that he didn't play, you know, particularly well. It's not like he had like an unbelievable Omaha where he's hitting 600 or whatever, but that dude got thrown in there at the third base spot late in the season after never seeing the field before. Nobody knew who he was. Everybody kept questioning him. And he did on a couple occasions have some really clutch moments. He made a great play there down at third base on, I believe it was Thursday against Arkansas. He made a good play, back during the Super Regionals. He was hitting enough, you know, he had a couple base knocks, a couple good walks. Not a guy that, you know, when you remember this team, you're not going to necessarily remember Garrett Wood, but you should. He stepped in there and really just did enough to where he let the team around him do what they needed to do. He didn't cause any problems. He didn't commit any egregious errors. He didn't, you know, strike out every single at bat. He had a couple decent plays, a couple decent base knocks, and a couple good walks. So he's the guy that also deserves as much love as everybody else on this team. And also, not for his on-field play, but I'd like to shout out Ben Van Cleve. Peyton Chatagnier said after the game on Sunday, after the Revs won it all, he said that something along the lines of like, we're going to burn Oxford to the ground or something like that. And the Oxford Police Department replied back and asked nicely for them not to do that. And Ben Van Cleve said, nope, no way. We're coming. Get all the officers, get out the horses. We're going crazy. So Ben Van Cleve is going to be a heck of a high school baseball coach somewhere one day. The only guy I know whose his baseball career has officially come to a close without a home run. Pretty astonishing. But anyway,
it's been for sure that after quite a couple of days. I thought for sure after all of the bashing of a guy of that stature that he would get one in Omaha. And then
that would have been, you know, so funny.
He could have just, you know, just really opened up the jersey, let the hamburger meat breathe. Take his jersey off after he steps on home plate, just head to the locker room and just end his career that way. Yeah, good point about Garrett Wood. Had a ton of really good at bats. The super regional, you know, if I'm being honest, I wasn't in tune with the season as much as I normally am because, you know, our very own Jake Thompson does a phenomenal job covering this team. He did it all season long. So big ups to Jake. So he did all the hard work. I didn't have to cover the team at all. And, you know, I didn't really watch a ton of regular season games, but he was Garrett Wood was phenomenal in Hattiesburg, had a ton of really good at bats against two really good pitchers. And then, you know, did a little bit more of the same in Omaha, made some good plays at third. So yeah, I mean, they had to have someone step up when, you know, McCants stepped out of the lineup for a little bit because he was struggling. They put bench in center. So yeah, good point there. And I mean, we mentioned the leadership, you know, guys, you mentioned Van Cleve, you know, Derek Diamond's another guy that didn't really get to pitch that much down the stretch as, you know, he was kind of struggling, but, you know, didn't hang his head, didn't mope, didn't bitch and moan, continued to be a leader and just support everybody else, you know, whether that was from the bullpen or as a starter. So, I mean, I think that's just indicative of Mike Bianco, Carl Lafferty, Mike Clement, Chris Cleary, that whole staff and their whole mindset throughout the year. And I mentioned the crossover podcast that Ben and Chase Parham did. And, you know, I think it was Chase that made the point where it was just a group of guys that they liked each other and liked playing together. And I think that, you know, as cliche and cheesy as it is, I think that was what kind of helped them get through the bad shit when they were 7-14 in the SEC and were really struggling. You know, Mike Bianco said it all the time. You know, he said, man, it was just a group of guys that continued to come into work every day and never really sulked, didn't complain, just kept plugging away. And now they're, you know, I don't think I was the only one that coined this because I think I saw some other folks say it, but, you know, from last team in to last team standing, just remarkable. So
really remarkable.
Yeah, pretty cool. Sports are cool. Hashtag sports. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll briefly touch on some baseball recruiting. There was some happenings over the weekend. I think it's a big development for next season. And then we'll get into some football recruiting. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by Lamar Yard, Oxford's indoor-outdoor restaurant, bar, and entertainment space on South Lamar. They now have an updated menu with non-barbecue options from Tex-Mex to Mississippi Delta catfish to smash burgers. And you can contact Lamar Yard for your private events for the spring and summer. They have a dedicated event coordinator who will help you plan your event from start to finish, and they offer on-site catering. From weddings to Greek parties or corporate events, Lamar Yard is the perfect place to host your next party. Lamar Yard is Oxford's quintessential family and pet-friendly venue, and they look forward to hosting you soon. Check them out at lamaryard.com. And if you want a place for clever dishes and captivating cocktails, look no further than Solal in South Lamar. Chef Erica and her committed team of food and beverage enthusiasts are bringing top-notch cuisine and libations to you 6 days a week. Whether it's happy hour 3 to 6, fresh squeezed margaritas, ramen, 2-for-1 Moscow mules, all of that and more, the best and brightest in-house or via curbside pickup. Check them out, solaoxford.com, or call them at 662-238-3500 and place your order today. Show also brought to you by Memphis restauranteur Kelly English and his restaurant group in Memphis, Tennessee. The renowned chef and his team are offering nationwide shipping and virtual cooking classes with Cooking with Kelly. You can learn more about the nationwide shipping at irisetc.com, and you can also book a virtual cooking class online at table22.com/iris. Kelly English Restaurant Group in Memphis, Second Line Restaurant Iris, and the Magnolia House down on the coast in Biloxi. The show is also brought to you by Cherokee Valley Golf Course in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Get on over, see Cody Allen and the rest of the crew take on their challenge of the wide plush Zoysia fairways and large championship Bermuda greens. They've got two putting greens to hone in your game with the flat stick, a driving range, and a chipping green to tighten up that short game. Book a tee time online at olivebranchgolf.com or give them a call at 662-893-4444.
And we are back here on Not Committed. Just talked about Ole Miss baseball, but before we transition to football, there was a recruiting development over the weekend. The night before Ole Miss clinched the national championship, it was announced that Ole Miss has added Nick Pogue from Florida to their pitching staff. I think that this is huge. This is a guy that underwent Tommy John surgery, came back after not pitching in 2021. Already graduated from Florida last summer, made 11 appearances in 2022, started 10 games, 4-3 record, 4.59 ERA, and a .238 batting average against, struck out 37 in 39 innings. I think that this is an interesting pickup because I mentioned the Tommy John going into next season. That'll be two full years of recovery and going through strength and conditioning, rehabbing it, getting back to, you know, somewhat normalcy. And I think that there's a chance to see an uptick in velo. I know some folks said that they expect him to bump it up a little bit more. He was a guy that was low to mid 90s at times this season, but there's a good chance that he could start to really settle in the mid 90s and maybe start bumping up to, you know, some high 90s. But a former top 100 prospect, according to Perfect Game, 6'5", 215, big dude, has a really good curveball, kind of throws from a high three-quarter arm slot. When he stays on plane, his fastball is pretty tough to hit. Got a little slider. I think he's just, you know, obviously coming off Tommy John, he's working his secondary stuff and starting to fine tune it and get a little more sharp. But again, I think that in 2023, 2 years of rehab, 2 years off of that surgery, I think you could see a bump there, but had some bright spots in 2022. But the big thing here for me is, this is a guy that has SEC experience. He's a veteran. He's older. I think it's not going to completely erase the bummer of not getting Jackson Ferris to campus, the 2023 or 2022 signee, Perfect Game All-American. He's been mocked going in the top 30, top 35. Don't think he's going to get to campus, but you're going to add a guy that is a big right arm, experienced in the SEC, and a guy that could see a little bit of a bump coming off of that surgery. But I think that kind of softens the blow a little bit, not getting Jackson Ferris, but you're adding a guy that could potentially compete for a weekend starter position. In my post that you can read over at ohmspirit.com, part of on3.com, I made a case for, you know, glass half full, glass half empty with Dylan DeLucia. Could potentially come back. He has the COVID year to work with. Is he going to try to capitalize on just an outstanding postseason and a, you know, really strong close to the second half of the season? Or will he try to come back, put it all together for a full campaign and try to, you know, have some draft leverage there? Because, yeah, I think technically he'll be a redshirt junior because of the COVID year.
Yep.
So I don't know. I've talked to some scouts that said, you know, it just depends on what front office likes him, how he fits in their system. But, you know, a 6'1" right-handed pitcher with a slider, it's pretty common these days in the minors. So how is he standing out from everyone else? How is he differentiating himself? And he could benefit from coming back and proving again in the SEC And depending on what Ole Miss does next season, how far they go in the postseason, you know, proving once again that longevity, being able to throw, be a true starter. I mean, you went complete game in Omaha. I mean, that was special. So I lean that he's not coming back, but he certainly could. I think that if he were to come back, he's obviously very clearly the Friday night guy. I think they're going to keep Hunter Elliott in that Saturday spot. I think it's, you know, all the parallels to Doug Nikhazy, but I think that that's a good spot for him to stay in that Saturday spot. A tough lefty in game two of weekend series is always tough for people to deal with. I think Jack Doherty is another guy that makes a case for being in that weekend rotation. And then I'll give you one more, just kind of a wild card here, just a guy that transferred in and had a bit of a – it was touch and go in 2022, but really, really flashed in Omaha is Jack Washburn, the Oregon State transfer. Came in out of the bullpen in Omaha and was just lights out, was touching 96, 97. His stuff, when he was on in 2022, his off-speed stuff was just untouchable. I mean, it was up there with Josh Mallett and Brandon Johnson, their sliders. I mean, it was really, really tough for people to hit, and he was, you know, he was lights out in that Arkansas game that they ended up losing, but came in, did his job, shut them down. I think that he's a guy that could challenge for a weekend starting spot just because of the stuff, the intangibles, the experience being from Oregon State and pitching for them in the Pac-12. And then now going through, you know, do they want to keep him in the bullpen? Do they want to give him a shot throwing on the weekend? So all of those guys with Nick Pogue, I think that's a huge get for Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stands out to me for Nick Pogue, and you may or may not have mentioned this, but he struck out 37 and 39 and a third frames this year in 2022. Obviously, the 4.59 ERA and the 4-3 record and walking 12 in that same time frame isn't ideal. But I mean, he's, again, coming back from Tommy John surgery, one, not an easy task. Back in the day, I mean, you look at a decade ago, Tommy John was a death sentence. Now these guys are coming back like Ben Joyce and throwing 103. You know, it's pretty incredible how far we've come with modern medicine and modern technology and modern surgery and all that good stuff. So that's obviously you got to caveat Nick Pogue's 2022 with that. I mean, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, but striking out 37 and 39 in the third frames, pretty good. So if you can get his walks down, and you can get his earned runs down, and I think you will, especially once you get him in the lab in Oxford and get him with that staff that, I mean, we've seen them turn, even this year, we saw them turn Hunter Elliott and Dylan DeLucia into certified aces by the time the season was over. They weren't necessarily there to start the year. So Ole Miss knows how to coach to pitching, and they know how to kind of get pitchers right, if you will. And I think they have a real opportunity to get Pogue right. And in an ideal world, you've got DeLucia Friday, Hunter on Saturday, Pogue on Sunday, and then maybe Doherty on Monday or on midweek. And that's pretty dominant. I think more than likely, like you said, DeLucia tries his best to capitalize off of the draft this year, and understandably so. I mean, his draft stock has absolutely skyrocketed. So then you've got, I mean, another guy we're not talking about too is maybe Derek Diamond. I feel like a broken record here. I think we say this every single year. Maybe this is the year that Derek Diamond actually figures out how to get through the lineup for the third time, how to stop giving up solo shots every other batter. Maybe this is the year, maybe he gets in the mix. All this goes to say, adding Pogue to the mix, along with Derek Diamond, Jack Doherty, Washburn, Elliott, DeLucia, etc., you've got a real opportunity to rebuild this staff. And I say rebuild lightly because it was never really built this year until the last month or so.
Right. Yeah.
But you got a real opportunity to put some good arms out there, and much like this year, start the year with no expectations for any of them and just kind of go with the flow and see who stands out, see who shows up. Maybe Drew McDaniel. Actually, I don't know how old Drew McDaniel is, but I don't think he's that old. Maybe Drew McDaniel, you know, comes in and, oh, he's a junior. So I guess he's got one more year. Maybe he figures it out this year and becomes a certified starter. There's a lot of opportunity, and adding Pogue to the mix is something that you should be pretty excited about when you start to look ahead at potentially trying to go back-to-back next year.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's – we'll see. You know, there were several rotations that everybody thought that they were going to have this year that didn't work out, and they ended up figuring it out just in time for the postseason. So, look, it could look completely different this time next year. So, I think – but look, you're probably losing DeLucia. I don't know if there's going to be guys that hop in the portal, but you have a chance to have a weekend rotation that is including somewhat of a combination of Hunter Elliott, Jack Doherty, Jack Washburn, Nick Pogue, maybe Drew McDaniel, maybe Derek Diamond. I mean, Diamond's another guy that had some issues with his arm. Maybe this is the time that he kind of figures it all out and puts it together. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, maybe. Again, it's – and then you look at, you know, the class that they're bringing in. You know, Jackson Ferris is not going to make it to campus, but you look at who else they're bringing. I mean, Hunter Elliott was – you know, a star this year as a true freshman. I mean, they got Jordan Vera, a nationally ranked prospect from Florida, JT Quinn, another guy, two big right-handers, Vera 6'3", Quinn 6'6", Grayson Saunier from Carville, Tennessee, 6'4". And they got some big bodies and some big arms in this class that's going to be competing for innings next season. So it's something that it's a good problem to have with several talented guys. Real quick before we move on to football, I mentioned this class. A lot of them are on campus already. Roman Anthony was at the Walk of Champions yesterday, celebrating with the team. I'm sure him and several of his other classmates from this 2022 class are in class in Oxford working out with the strength and conditioning staff, getting ready for 2023. He's probably the only other one, as far as I'm concerned, and from folks that I have spoken with, that is a draft risk. Could be some potential posturing here, maybe some leverage, trying to really create some, you know, get some organizations thinking a little bit, but I think he's got a legitimate shot to show up. I think that there's a sincere want to play in college with Roman Anthony. I think he wants to play at Ole Miss. I think he believes that he could really up his game and benefit from a couple of years at the college level. But just a guy that blew up his senior year, hit over 400, double-digit home runs, was just a force for Marjorie Stoneman Douglas as they won another state championship in Florida in 6A. He's a guy that if he does make it to campus, I believe he is a day one starter. I think there's some questions on, you know, is TJ McCants going to listen to some scouts, listen to some feedback from the draft, maybe take his chances and go if he gets some decent money? I don't know. He's a versatile guy. He could come back. He could play in the outfield. He could play in the infield. I think Roman Anthony is going to be a day one guy if he shows up and plays center or right field. We've joked about how he's a Terminator, JB Woodman. I mean, if you're in a lab and you're building someone to play center field, it's Roman Anthony. 6'3", 195, raw power from the left side, can really run. He's a 6'5 runner. If he does show up, I think that he is going to be a focal point in that lineup. I don't think he's going to hit third day one when they start the season in February, but he is going to be someone who, depending on how he does upon arrival, fall practice and all that, I mean, I think that he's a legitimate bona fide freshman All-American type guy.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I mean, McCants, if he stays or goes, he could be in center. And if he is in center, that right field spot's wide open. I mean, Calvin Harris is moving behind the plate. So there's an immediate opening in the outfield, and Roman Anthony fills that void right away. It's pretty ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll obviously monitor that, keep you posted at OM Spirit, part of On3. Stay locked in on the message board. Stay locked in on the site, and we'll keep you up to date. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll get into some football recruiting. Ole Miss made a couple top schools lists, and we'll get into a current commit who is doing his best to recruit and add some more blue chips to this 2023 class. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Podcast brought to you by Protection Unlimited Incorporated, the Mid-South's leader in commercial and residential alarm security. Wayne Lowry and his team have been serving the greater Memphis area and North Mississippi for 50-plus years and would love to get your business and or family protected today. They offer cutting-edge security for your home or business with video surveillance options, and they're monitoring 24/7, 365. You can reach them via phone at 901-754-6510 or email them at info@protectionunlimited.com. Podcast also comes to you thanks to Bluff City Advisory Group, Memphis's leading team of finance professionals. They can provide advanced assistance with financial planning, pension and qualified plan support, and business and estate planning strategies. Former Ole Miss Rebel and founding partner Ben Still, along with his elite level customer service team, make it their goal to help you meet the ongoing demands of your financial needs. Learn more about them at bluffcityadvisory.com. Podcast brought to you by the Berry Home Team. You're ready to sell and make the most net profit from your home. Call Stacy and Rick Berry today. They will lead you through the process from property assessment, repairs, staging, and putting that sold sign in your yard. Both have earned the multi-million dollar club member status, and they would love to assist you today in your real estate ventures. Call them 901-481-6420 or 901-461-6421. After you have talked to the Berry Home Team, you can talk to Saddle Creek Title, another proud sponsor of the show. They're the Mid-South's leader in client-focused, innovative closing solutions. Neil Hanna and his team are more than just a real estate closing firm. They are dedicated to going the distance to ensure the ease and growth of your real estate business. Find more information at saddlecreektitle.com or call them 901-753-1600. Show brought to you by Davis McFord State Farm. If you're looking for good neighbor service and surprisingly great insurance rates, look no further than Davis and his team. They are your one-stop shop in Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop looking around. Give Davis a call. He is ready to help. 901-755-6110. And get your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back here on Not Committed, closing up this Tuesday show. All right, Grayson, let's get into some football. Real quick, I will say jokingly that Arch Manning did try to derail the Ole Miss hype train while they were in Omaha. He announced his commitment to Texas, but to no avail. Ole Miss still won the national title as he and the rest of the Mannings were trying to hog the attention away from the Rebels. I'm obviously joking. They were not trying to do that, but it was kind of funny, though, as that happened. I believe it was Wednesday. It's like midday when the announcement came out. Most Ole Miss fans were kind of like, all right, whatever. We're going to keep on trying to win a national title. So I think it was good for the psyche of Ole Miss people to, which I think most who, you know, listen to this show, read our stuff, they knew Ole Miss was not in the mix at all anymore. But I think it kind of helped, you know, really rip the Band-Aid off and kind of move on that Ole Miss was on a national title run when he announced it. So Arch Manning is finally off the board. Some dominoes have fallen after that. Texas has gotten a ton of commits. But Ole Miss right now sitting 30th in the team rankings, still recruiting at a high level. They've got 5 commits right now, an 80% blue chip rating with Suntarian Perkins, Bryson Sanders, Marcel Reed, Ahmad Brown, all 4 stars, and then Daniel Demery, the lone 3-star in this class. We mentioned Bryson Sanders. We had him on the show here a couple weeks ago. He's doing his best to help recruit to this 2023 class and add some more talented prospects.
Yeah, he tweeted out 11:39 a.m. on Tuesday, June 28th. He said, hashtag come to the SIP, and tagged 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 recruits who are all being targeted by Ole Miss. Some more likely to end up in Oxford than others, but I'll just run down the list here real quick. Marvin Burks Jr., the safety out of St. Louis, we've talked about before. You and I both feel pretty good that Ole Miss will beat out Missouri there. Aiden Williams, the wide receiver, 4-star from Ridgeland, Mississippi. Ole Miss, South Carolina, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee in the mix. Ole Miss, as you and I have said before on this podcast, seems to be kind of in the front there. 3-star wide receiver, Caden Lee, Kennesaw, Georgia, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Florida State, Florida, all in the mix. Really kind of wide open there. William Foles Fowles. However, it is to be said, out of Florida, the 4-star receiver out of Dade Christian with offers from Miami, Auburn, Georgia, Louisville. Seems like Miami is probably in the lead there, but there's a long way to go. 4-star offensive tackle, Tyree Adams from Louisiana. We've talked about him before, me in particular. I'm really, really high on what Tyree Adams has to offer. LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, with LSU seemingly in the mix, in the lead there. 3-star running back, Christopher Johnson out of Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Alabama, NC State, Georgia, Penn State, Ole Miss, obviously wide open there. 3-star guy, plays above his star ranking. A lot of teams are really high about the potential he could bring to the back half of a running back room. And then the last player that Bryson Sanders tagged was DJ Chester. He's an interior offensive line guy, 6'5", 295 out of Georgia. Auburn, LSU, Florida State, Miami, South Carolina seem to be kind of the lead guys there, with Ole Miss, you know, sitting in the background waiting. But all this goes to say, you got to love having, you know, a week, or I guess 2 weeks now, old commit out there on the trail recruiting, getting guys in the boat. I'd be curious to know, and you and I talked about this a little bit before we hopped on. I'd be curious to know if, you know, he's just doing this on his own, and I might reach out to him and check. But I'd be curious to know if Bryson is out here just tweeting at recruits on his own, trying to get him in the boat, or if maybe there's one of the coaches in the mix saying, you know, hey, these are the guys we want, you know, do what you got to do. But either way, you've got Bryson out there on the recruiting trail, Lane Kiffin's retweeting him, trying to get guys to Oxford. Gotta love the all around effort from players, recruits, staff members, et cetera, that Ole Miss is putting into their class. Like you said, sitting 30th at the moment. You'd like to finish in the top 25, knowing that the transfer portal is where you'll really obtain the grain, make that bread. But 30th isn't bad. You know, it could be a lot worse. And like we've said time and time again, Ole Miss's efforts are insanely targeted. They only go after guys that they feel are NFL caliber players. And that hurts them in a sense in terms of rankings and numbers and all that stuff. But none of that matters when, you know, the staff is happy with the guys that they've got. And it seems like they are well on their way to a class that they're really excited about and one that could continue to grow over the next couple of weeks.
I think the ones to keep a close eye on, you already mentioned Marvin Burks, Caden Lee, and Aiden Williams. Those are the three that I would keep a close eye on. Two are wide receivers and one is a safety. I think that's probably the three that Ole Miss is in the best shape for. William Foles has yet to take an official to Ole Miss, but he has said that he will be taking an official at some point. I think that for him, it seems like Miami is in a good spot with him right now. It was kind of funny. He mentioned his top four on Monday, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M, and Miami. And then shortly after announcing the top four, he said FSU is still in the mix. So Florida State's kind of lingering on the outside. So I guess it could be a top five with Florida State. So you're going to have the two in-state schools vying to keep him inside Florida. And then Georgia and Ole Miss, two schools that have done a really nice job recruiting wide receivers. I don't really know how much A&M is in the mix here, but I think it's – if he were to show up for an official visit, I think that Ole Miss is in a good spot. He likes Lane Kiffin. He likes the offense. He likes the idea of being an outside receiver in a Lane Kiffin offense. I think that if he takes an official, I think that'll up Ole Miss's chances there. Jaquais Petaway ended up not coming for his official visit, so Ole Miss is out on him. I think actually Southern Cal has started to emerge there as a big time contender for him. So they're trying to kind of piece who they're wanting to really target at the high school level at their wide receiver position. They did a nice job. They got two in-state guys, Jeremiah Dillon, Larry Simmons in the 2022 class, and then went big in the portal with Jalen Robinson, Jordan Watkins, and his name, Malik Heath. I was going to draw a blank there, but they got three receivers out of the portal, two in the class from high school. So, you know, Lane Kiffin is going to continue to utilize the transfer portal, try to go get guys that are experienced, been there, done that, but they're also going to try to get talented guys like William Foles out of the high school level. Aiden Williams, the in-state guy from Ridgeland, just got off an official visit to South Carolina. I still think Ole Miss is in a great spot there. He continues to say all the right things in interviews, continues to say he's going to go through the process, take his visits. But I think that his relationship with Derek Nix, and, you know, he's another guy that likes Ontarian Perkins, who has been to Oxford seemingly almost every weekend. Aiden Williams is a guy that has been to Oxford, I believe, four or five times, maybe six times since last fall. So I think that right now it's probably Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Tennessee, probably. LSU and Georgia are there as well. He's been there on unofficial visits, but I still think he's Ole Miss's to lose. And then Caden Lee is another guy that doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but the staff really likes him. Chris Partridge, Dane Stevens, Derek Nix have done a phenomenal job recruiting him. I think that he will set up an official visit. He's been to Oxford twice this spring, South Carolina again, Oklahoma, Florida State are also in the mix there. I think that's probably a good top three for him: Gamecocks, Rebels, and Sooners. So there's the crossover there with Jeff Levy recruiting him to Norman, but the staff really likes his game. Another dynamic slot guy who can give them some versatility in the slot. You know, 5'11", so can still get out on the outside and make plays, but is shifty, runs good routes, can really make plays on the interior as well. And then Marvin Burks, a guy that's, you know, quietly came, took his official visit. I think the staff feels really good about where they sit with him. I've talked to a couple of national sources. They said the same thing. I think that, you know, they really like their rotation in the secondary. And I think that he's a guy that they really want to add to this class.
Yeah. I mean, they're in, I won't say good positions, because there is a lot of recruiting left and there's a lot of time for things to change, but the staff has to feel pretty comfortable with where they sit for all three of those guys. And really for all of the guys in general that Bryson Sanders tagged in the post. Sure, they're not necessarily top three, top four, top five for some of those back half guys outside of the three that we talked about, that you talked about, but they're in the mix for all these guys. And Ole Miss is not, as we know from Jonte Cook, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are not backing down. They're consistent. They're persistent. They continue to push and I mean, for a lack of a better word, almost nag their recruits to just say, hey, we're here. We want you. We're here. We want you. We are here. We want you. And if that continued pressure remains applied, then Ole Miss could be in the mix for all of these guys. Now, there's a couple hills to climb, and the three that you mentioned are kind of the real three to watch. But you gotta love the effort that Ole Miss is putting into this recruiting class. Where, I mean, there was a lot of angry people who were quick to diminish Lane Kiffin's recruiting efforts the last 2 years. The first year, obviously, it's a first-year class. You have a quick turnaround, whatever. The second year, you're supposed to be better. And it was a good, not great, very solid class. Now, this is the third class under Lane Kiffin, and it looks like it's going to be the best yet. And it's looked like it's going to be the most targeted yet. And at the same time, it's still going to leave that door wide open for transfer portal players to come walking through and close it behind them. It's good. Ole Miss is in a good spot. There's a lot of, this is kind of the lull period. I believe that we're in a dead period at the moment. So there's no contact being made anywhere across the board. Sports are obviously at a lull. All we have is going on right now is Wimbledon. So it's really just a slow time of year, and things will start to pick up in the next, I don't know, 2 months, as the fall season comes quickly. We're getting there. You know, bunker down and hang in to see what comes next.
Yeah, so I did mention it on Monday. We are now into the dead period. It runs through July 24th, so no campus visits, obviously no official or unofficial visits, no off-campus contact. Coaches cannot visit high schools, no calls or text communication with 2024 prospects. They can contact 2023 prospects via calls or texts. So through the end of July, the dead period will run, and then after that, pick back up in time for fall camp and then getting into the season. We're 2 months away. It's pretty wild that we're that close. So, but yeah, continue to stay locked in, omspirit.com, part of On3. We'll continue to run the daily threads every day. Even though it's a dead period, there's still going to be stuff going on. So stay locked in there. Continue to read up on everything that we have going over there. Last thing before we close, Pinson Valley safety, TJ Metcalf, obviously of the Metcalf family that is very prevalent with the Ole Miss program, released the top four, Arkansas, Jackson State, Ole Miss, and Penn State. I believe that one's going to be the Razorbacks or the Rebels. You know, he's talked a lot about his family and their lineage at Ole Miss, but said it wasn't going to be a deciding factor, wasn't going to tip the scales in Ole Miss's favor whatsoever. He's going to make his own decision, but Ole Miss really likes him. So he has narrowed his focus to those four programs. But yeah, stay locked in, continue to keep you up to date despite the dead period. But as Grayson said earlier in the show, like, subscribe, leave a review, let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you love it. Let us know if you hate it. You want us to improve something, and we'll continue to do our best to bring you Not Committed twice a week. We'll be back Thursday. Maybe something will pop off. We will talk about that. But until next time, for Grayson, I'm Zach. This has been Not Committed. Until next time, we out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.